Welcome to the Tell Janice Radio Show, where you will hear inspiring stories about life, love, and labor from amazing women to help lift you up. Now, here's your host, Janice.
Thanks very much, and welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're listening, and I'm sure you're going to learn a lot from our guest today. But before we get started, I wanted to remind you that if you know of a fabulous female that you would like me to give a shout-out to with a few words of encouragement, acknowledgement, or congratulations, please let me know their names by clicking on the link at telljanice.com.
My guest today is Alana Jones. She's out of Roseville, California. She's a realtor with RE/MAX Gold, and I'm so excited and honored to have her on the show today. She is a young cancer survivor. Welcome to the show, Alana.
Thank you, Janice. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thanks for asking. I'd like to get started with our guest sharing a little bit about themselves. Would you like to start with that, Alana?
Sure. I am a mom of four children, ages teen, 9, 6, and 4. The oldest is a boy, and the younger three are all girls. I've been married since 2009, but my husband and I have been together for 12 years, and he's the love of my life.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Let's start off with kind of your story. You and I have talked a little bit prior to this. Can you start for our listeners kind of how you started and how old you were when you were first diagnosed with cancer and what kind of cancer you had?
Mm-hmm. I was 28 years old, and I was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma. And that's a big word. And exactly when I was diagnosed with that, I went, huh? I was like, I don't even know what that means. But basically, it's a cancer that affects children under the age of 10. That's where they mostly see this type of cancer. I was 28, had this rhabdomyosarcoma. It was a very large lump on my right thigh, and it's a soft tissue cancer that grows on your muscle. So one of the first things they had to do is to make sure it didn't go to my bone. So I was fortunate enough to where it was just growing on my muscle. And so then from there, we had to come up with a treatment plan because they really didn't have a treatment plan for somebody of my age. They could, because I was because being 28, you're an adult. So what happens with treatment is they look at that cancer in children because their immune systems are better than an adult's immune systems because they don't have the age on them, so to speak, that they can handle larger amounts of chemotherapy, which is crazy to me, thinking, you know, a small child can handle huge doses of chemotherapy. So basically, I saw a doctor that put me on a childhood regimen where I did 5 chemo drugs. I alternated these chemo drugs every 3 weeks. The first week was a 3-day treatment of 2 drugs, which one I went home with a pack on, and it was going through me for a 24-hour period. And then I would get it off, have my recovery time. Then 3 weeks would pass, and then I went in for 5-day-a-week treatment. Every day was anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of chemotherapy. And it's a very, very aggressive cancer, so we had to treat it very aggressively.
Alana, what was going on in your life at that time, your personal life?
Yes. At that time, my first husband and I, Justin's father, we parted ways, and we decided to get a divorce. So not only was I going through a divorce, I had a very young son. He was not even a year old. So going through a divorce, got diagnosed with cancer, and literally months later, I met Adam, who is my husband.
Wow.
And so I had like you know, it, I went from divorce, cancer, and then meeting the love of my life. It was very overwhelming, but, you know, now that I think back on it, it is, you know, I can't believe all that happened in a short period of time.
Well, it did, and he was put there for a reason, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Adam is definitely a man that loyalty, love unconditionally. He was my, he's my angel, so to speak. I wouldn't want to do it without him, nor could I have done it without him.
Right. And think about his mm-hmm. perspective too, Alana, because he was mm-hmm. going into a relationship and knowing that you were going through chemotherapy. You had, at that time, I'm assuming like a one-ish year old, you know, your youngest child. And he took all of mm-hmm. that on. That's remarkable.
Well, see, that's the funny thing is when we first started like dating, the tumor was on my side, but I didn't know it yet. And so he was with me before the actual diagnosis, during the diagnosis, and then he was also there with me when I had to tell my family what was going on with me. Just to give you a little background, my father passed away at 50 with colon cancer. And so my mother had already lost her husband, father of her children, to cancer. And now I had to go and tell her her daughter had cancer. And I had to tell my siblings as well, which was very difficult. I felt like I had to be the strong one mm-hmm. to tell them because, you know, most people, they hear cancer and they automatically think you're going to die. And
right.
with this type of cancer, that was the outcome. That was the outcome I was facing anyway. It was a very aggressive cancer.
Who did you go to first? I know your mom's a huge influence in your life. Who did you go to first to tell that you had cancer?
Well, my mom had remarried, and my actual her husband's daughter was with me. She had gone through some you know, medical things of her own. So she was with me and she was in nursing school at the time. So she was the first person to know about it. And it was, my mom had gone to Niagara Falls
mm-hmm.
for her birthday. And I had to then, after getting the news, I had to call her. It was, I actually got the news on her birthday. And I had to call her on her birthday and tell her because they knew that I was waiting for results. And, you know, they were like, do mm-hmm. not, you know, call us no matter what. And I hated to make that phone call. That was the worst, I would think. But she really, above all, was the person that I told first in my family. And then I told my brother
right.
and my sister. Mm-hmm.
Right. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your mom and why she's such an inspiration to you?
Oh, yes. My mom is one of my best friends. She's an extremely strong, loving, loyal person. I watched her put herself through school. I watched her get a new job. I watched her exceed and excel and go way above and beyond in her career. She lost a husband. She gained a new love and a new marriage. And she is inspirational to me because of all the things that I've seen this woman go through. She just perseveres and
right.
she just keeps going. And that gives me, inspiration to keep going as well. I can't say enough about my mom, and in awe I am of her. She's a fantastic woman.
Yes, that's absolutely wonderful. And if you could put into one word about your mom and like one word regarding virtue, what would it be?
Oh boy.
You could use two words, three words. It's okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, you're telling me one word. There's not one word to describe this woman. I would say strong, loyal, and loving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I know your mom, I'll tell our listeners,
yes.
And she is one of my top, I was telling you the other day, you know, I have top five females in my life, sisters have to be, I told one yesterday, they share the top space, I can't separate them, and your mom is right up there. She's terrific.
Oh, yeah. She
yeah.
is. She's an amazing woman, and blessed to be able to have her in my life, and
absolutely.
I'm blessed to have my children to be a part of her life.
Well, let's talk about your children then. So you're,
sure.
you know, with what you've gone through, and right now there are 13, 9, 6, and 4. That's a huge
mm-hmm.
clan that you're dealing with. What
yes.
virtue are you, what kind of legacy are you trying to leave your children?
That no matter what, you don't ever give up. That doesn't matter what's faced in your life, you're strong, can do it. It doesn't matter. You can overcome anything that you want to overcome. There's no end to what you can do.
Right. And I think, you know, how about your daughters? Or do you sort of relate to them in a different way than you do your oldest son? As far as, you know, from a woman and a man standpoint, relationships, that kind of thing. Can you talk about that a little bit? Maybe the differences?
Yes. Yes. Well, Justin, he, you know, I share him with his father. So, he is a boy. So, and I'm a woman. So it's hard for me to raise a man, right? Because I'm not a man.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this great, you know, he has a father. He's got a stepfather, great men. I try to instill with him hard work. But with the girls, the difference with the girls there are, because there is a difference between women and men, obviously,
mm-hmm.
I want the girls to be, I want to show them how strong we can be as women as well. Hard work pays off. If you put in the time, the results will come. That there's nothing that they can't do. They can do it all. If they want it all, they can do it all. And I'm there 100% to support them. I believe that with my son as well. But with girls, you know, I feel sometimes that they have to work a little bit harder.
Of course. Of course. We know by the experience, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, definitely. You mentioned, and you actually left out a really important part of the first part of your story. Can you tell our listeners, too, about your education? And what were you were doing at that time?
At the time I was diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah. Didn't
okay.
you mention to me that you got a degree during that period of time as well?
Yeah, it took me a long time to get my business degree. I had it's basically starting at square one. I had a job I started out at this company, and I started out in the mailroom, and I was working my way up. And when I got diagnosed with cancer, I was well on my way to getting promotions. And then obviously I had to leave to go do treatment. But during that time, I just worked. Why did treatment and after treatment, I just kept working on my degree, and I ended up with a business degree. Just a general business degree. And it took me a long time to get it, but I have it. And then I pursued opening my own business. And I really, really loved that. But my kids were younger at the time, so they needed more of my time. And I still have ongoing health issues. I live with Lynch syndrome, and I have to be attentive to my body every single year, meaning procedures and such, to make sure I'm being healthy and staying healthy. So that
right.
having your own business and having a brick and mortar was kind of difficult for me to run because of those things. I had to take time off work to be able to take care of my body. So
right.
Recently I joined RE/MAX Gold as a real estate agent, and I am loving it. I have found my dream job.
Oh,
and
good for
all
you.
All of this is a gateway and building up to this job. It's fantastic. I love the people I work with. I love what I'm doing. I love being able to move in a shape, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And it gets you out there and you're with people, and it sounds like you're pretty much a people person. You know, back up a minute, because I'm not sure our listeners understand what Lynch syndrome is. Can you explain what that is?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a gene deletion. It's a genetic mutation. So when I went through all the cancer treatments, they suggested I see a genetic counselor, and I did. And they found a correlation between myself and my dad's colon cancer, because there's a long line of cancer on his side of the family. And I didn't end up with colon cancer. I ended up with rhabdomyosarcoma, and the percentage was like 2%. And I just, it just happened to get rhabdo. And it makes me susceptible to 10 different types of cancer, colon cancer being number one, meaning I have about an 80% chance of getting it, but I do procedures every year to help prevent it, because as we all know now, colon cancer is preventable as long as you catch it in time.
Right.
Which I stay on top of that. Two summers ago, 2014, I got skin cancer and had to have that removed. That was on my list. Just this past summer, I had a benign tumor removed from my skull. We were all thankful it was benign. But all of these things derive from this genetic mutation called Lynch syndrome. And so as long as I stay on top of my health, I pretty much have a good chance of not getting any other types of cancers. And if they do come about, there are things that can be curable. Like, for instance, I had a full hysterectomy to prevent myself from getting ovarian cancer.
Wow.
I get all kinds of procedures every year. I'm the poke and prodded lady over here. I'm always in and out of Kaiser.
And you're still running over there.
Oh, yeah. I don't let it get me down. I just keep going. Because if you live in that, then I would never go anywhere. You know, I would never be able to do the things that I do if I lived in the state of, oh, my goodness, you know, what if? The what if state, right?
Right. You can't do that. Hey, you recently went through a really inspirational experience at a camp, Athletes for Cancer. Can you talk to our listeners about that?
Yes, Athletes for Cancer is for young adult cancer survivors, or they're at the camp. There was a couple of terminal cancer, so you don't necessarily have to be cured or in survivorship. Basically, you go to this camp. It's a week long, and it's to go and get in touch with other cancer survivors. It's a place where you can share your experience that you had with cancer. So there's men and women, and the counselors there have already either been through the camp because they're cancer survivors, and the two main other counselors that are there are the two people that started Athletes for Cancer. And it's just a great way to get and connect with other survivors and yourself, and it's a comfortable place to be able to talk about your experiences without any strings attached. I learned how to surf. I learned how to paddleboard. We outright canoed. We hiked. It was a huge, huge bonding experience. And if there's any cancer survivors out there, I highly suggest you check out this website. I highly suggest I donate to them because I was fortunate to, basically, you get yourself there. The whole camp's paid for, the cancer survivor. It's all paid for. You just have to get yourself there to Hawaii. So I went to Maui, and the other camp is in Oregon. So they do a snow camp, and then they do a summer camp. And I did the Maui camp. So all you have to do is get yourself there, but the whole camp's paid for, which
That's
is amazing
terrific.
To me. It
That's
is.
Terrific.
A week long to connect with all kinds of people. And by the time you leave, you've made relationships with people. You make connections with people that you've never, on different levels, you know. Everybody can relate to each other.
Right. And that created probably a lot of healing for you and
it did.
And support, too. You told me a really great story about when you were surfing. Can you tell our listeners about that surfing story and being in the water?
Oh, okay. When I was out rigging canoeing.
Yes.
Okay. So we went, did the outrigging canoeing, and we were paddling out to the ocean, getting to this other side of the beach. And there is a point where we stopped, and they said, okay, everybody, get out, jump in the water if you want. And I'm definitely afraid of the ocean. It scares me. The surfing part didn't bother me so much because the shore was right there and there's so many people out there. But the outrigging canoeing, you're out there with all your camper camp people. But we're in the middle of the ocean. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm here to overcome my fears. I'm here to do things that I normally wouldn't do. I'm going to jump out, get right back in the boat, and say that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I jump out in the middle of the ocean. A bunch of other people jump in, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get back in now. And all of a sudden, like, the counselors and stuff were like, oh, come on, let's make a circle. Let's get a picture. Let's float on our backs and just be for a moment. And I was like, no, that's okay. I'm going to get back in the boat. And they're like, no, come on, Alana, you can do this. I'm like, no, I don't want to. I want to get back in the boat. And I just completely had a panic attack, started crying. I was freaking out, and immediately another camper and one of the counselors came to me, told me it was okay, I could do it, and we were all here for each other. And, you know, they helped me through that process, and I just thought, you know what, I can do this, I'm going to do it, and this is about overcoming things. This is about getting out of my comfort zone, and I did. I got out of my comfort zone. Not to say that I didn't want to hurry up and get back in the boat again, because I did, but I made myself stay out there, and I made myself overcome the wanting to get back in the boat. So I ended up getting back in the boat, and then on the way back after going around and to the other side of the beach, I did it again. And I was just told,
that's
hey,
terrific.
Every time you do it, you know, it's going to get easier. And it did. The second time around was easier. Not to say there wasn't still this panic mode, but I did it, and I forced myself to do it. And anybody can that step out of their comfort zone and do things that, you know, will inspire them just to show how strong you are as a person. I highly encourage it, because you're going to be okay.
Right. Stepping outside
liberated.
Your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's great. And that's, again, for our listeners, you can Google platesforcancer.com and learn a little bit more about that wonderful organization. And Alana, what are you doing in your day-to-day life right now? You mentioned now being a real estate agent.
Yes. I work for RE/MAX Gold here in Northern California, Roseville, Rockland area. And I'm just connecting with people any way I can on a daily basis, whether it's selling real estate, making a new friend. Actually, I talked with a real estate agent this morning, and he is a cancer survivor going through some cancer stuff right now, and I connected with him. I just called him about a home that I have a client that wants to look at a home this morning, and then him and I just connected on a cancer level. He was amazing.
Wow.
And yeah. And then he texted me a little while later and said, you made my day. And even though I was calling him for real estate, I was able to connect with him on a different level. And it made me feel so good for him to say that to me. But I take care of my kids. I sell real estate. My kids are in a gazillion activities daily. And I couldn't do that, you know, without my husband, without my family, meaning my mom and her husband, my pop.
Right. Well, you have a terrific support system, and you're doing great now. You have such an inspirational story, and I, again, am really excited that you were on the show. And
how
can our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to alana.remaxgold.com or Alana Jones, that's ALANA Jones Realtor@gmail.com, or they can contact me by phone 916 718 before too. And also, I just really, really want everybody to know that athletesforcancer.com is a great organization. And if you know any young cancer survivors out there, please tell them about this site. It's amazing, amazing people.
That's great. And you mentioned to me also, go ahead.
I just wanted to take one moment to let everybody know about my husband, Adam. I really need everybody to know what he means to me. This man is unconditional love. He's my team. He's my support. He loves me no matter what. And what he does day in and day out for us as a family, and what he's done for me in regards to being there for me during all my cancer situations. And he always, because at one point we were told we weren't going to have children because the chemo was going to kill everything in my body. So, and he always said, don't worry, it's going to happen. And three girls later, here we are. I just want to tell him how much I love him and thank you for the support.
Aw, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
That brings tears to my eyes.
Me too.
I love that. And you and I both decided that, you know, sharing your story or whatever stories we have to share, that even if we can affect one person, then we've done a good job, correct?
Absolutely.
I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much, Alana.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you so much for having me.
Ladies, I'm so happy that you tuned in today and learned from our amazing, fantastic female guests. And I hope you recognize this as an opportunity to pass their knowledge onto your daughters and friends and share the wisdom of the ages. I'll talk to you again soon. And in the meantime, let's lift each other up, spread the love, and share an attitude of gratitude. Thank you so much.
Olive Crest is a local nonprofit organization dedicated to preventing child abuse, treating and educating at-risk children, and preserving the family one life at a time. For 40 years, Olive Crest has provided safe, loving homes to at-risk youth throughout Southern California, Nevada, and the Pacific Northwest. There are many ways you can help, including volunteering or becoming a foster parent. Go to www.olivecrest.org or call 1-800-550-CHILD to learn more. That's 1-800-550-CHILD. Call today.
You've been listening to the Tell Janice Radio Show. If you'd like to be a guest or suggest a guest for the show, or if you would like to nominate a fabulous female for a shout-out by Janice on the live show, please visit www.telljanice.com. Please share this episode with your social network and help us lift women up. Join us next week for another episode of Tell Janice.